So over the last few weeks, I've been getting phone calls from out of state. And I think, who knows me in Nevada? But this week I decided, after not having answered them for about 4 weeks, I thought, I'm just going to answer today and see what's going on. So, hey, Mr. Perstrope, how are you today? I'm doing fine. Hey, Mr. Perstrope, when was the last time you were in Las Vegas? I've never been to Las Vegas. Well, listen, we have a deal for you. 4 days and three nights at a luxury resort that you can have for just $99. And man, there's so many things to do, and they start listing them off. I said, you know, I've got kids in college. That's whenever there's a financial question, I just say, look, I got kids in college. Oh, you have kids. Well, when was the last time you were in Orlando? Well, it's been about 10 years since we were in Orlando. Well, we can put a place, I have a place for your family where you all can go and for $99 stay for three nights, 4 days. And they tell you, you know, we're close to the Disney theme parks. You've got Universal. There's so many things to do. And I say, okay, that sounds good. What's the catch? Well, Mr. Perstrope, there's really not any catch, but we would like for you and your wife to spend just a couple of hours with us as we share with you the opportunity for you to have future vacations in this resort. They were selling me a timeshare. I knew when I signed up on one of these lists here recently that this was going to be trouble, and I did it anyway, and anyway, so it was not on that list, but apparently who I signed up for over here sold that, and now about three or four times, it seems like every day, I get a call from Nevada. Most time I don't answer them, so if you have a Nevada cell number, you need to make sure and let me know so I will answer it for you, or leave a message, because they never leave a message. You know, the whole ploy is we want to tell you how good this is and show you what a great offer this is and get you hooked in and locked in and seeing this in your mind. And then they drop on you, well, we're going to make you go to this and do this. Jesus, as he has shared in the Sermon on the Mount, and then done miracles through Matthew 8 and 9, commissions his disciples to go in Matthew chapter 10. But Jesus does exactly the opposite of what these folks do in timeshare world, where they say how great this is, what a bargain this is, how wonderful this is, and then, oh, by the way, we've got to hook you here. Jesus instead starts from the very beginning and says, I want you to go and be a witness, and let me tell you, it's going to be really hard, and it's going to be challenging, and I'm not going to pull any punches, but he does say, but the reward will be great. Take your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10, and as we finish up our Jesus Can series, the challenge for us is that Jesus can call us to be more than just someone who sits on a pew on Sunday. He can call us to be more than someone who just attends church sporadically. He wants to call us to be disciples. He wants to call us so that we not only are following him, but are making a difference in the lives of those that are around us and the lives of those that will outlive us. As we think about Jesus and all that he can do, one of the things we find that he does do is call us to be what he wants us to be. Matthew chapter 10, pick up with me in verse number 1. It says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Notice he had called, very beginning, he'd called his 12 disciples to him. Now slide down to verse number 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." And with that, let's pray. God, speak to us today. And Lord, for those of us who are believers, challenge us today to make a difference in the lives of others around us. In your name, amen. You can think that the disciples, as they began their journey with Jesus and they're walking with him and they hear him preach and how wonderful it is in Matthew 5 through 7 as he begins the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit and blessed are those who mourn. As he preaches and lays out the truth and he ties the Old Testament in and shows himself to be the Messiah. You can imagine the excitement of the disciples as the leper comes and says, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me well," in Matthew chapter 8. Or as the centurion comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, you can heal my servant, and you don't even have to go, just say the word and he can be healed." You have to think it would have been amazing for the disciples as a man was dropped down on ropes before Jesus and Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." You have to think it would have been amazing for a man to come and say, "My 12-year-old daughter has died," and Jesus goes and raises her. For blind men to cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And for Jesus to open blind eyes. It would have been a tremendous privilege and opportunity. The disciples could have thought, "Man, I can get used to this. We just follow Jesus. We watch him do all of these miracles. We listen to him teach, and life is good." But Jesus was doing something. Jesus was preaching and teaching and modeling so that he could ultimately send them. That he could send them. Not so that they would just enjoy and bask in the glory of watching the miracles and listening to the message, but so that they would go and they would understand that there are lost people around them, as Jesus calls them to go to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus was at one place at one time here on the earth, and now he's sending out disciples to go and cover more ground and to make a greater impact for the kingdom. And he does that today. Your calling in life is not just to bask in the messages and to feast on God's word and to come and enjoy worship. We'll have a baptism second hour and to enjoy lives being changed. But you have a call on your life to make a difference for the kingdom of heaven. It's a call on your life. It's not optional. It's not check if you like, and if you don't, then let it go. It is a command for all of us. And Jesus lays it out in Matthew chapter 28 as he calls all of us to go into the world and teach the message of the gospel and baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we teach them to observe everything that the Lord has commanded. And we know that he's with us when we go. It's a challenge for all of us. But what I find amazing is most people have enough faith to believe that Jesus can keep us out of hell and send us to heaven. But not very many believers have enough faith to say, "Jesus is sending me out to make a difference in the world." Oh, I can believe over here I could trust Jesus. He could keep me out of hell. He can forgive all of my sins. He could promise eternal life. He can send me to heaven. But can I trust Jesus in the here and now to empower me to be sent into the world? I want to tell you, if Jesus can save you from hell and send you to heaven, then he can send you into the world and you can find security in him. So, Jesus here calls his disciples. Many of us have gone through life coach and we understand and see when we think about disciples, a disciple is one who follows Jesus, but one who seeks to make disciples after them. So that we're following and then we're helping. We're sharing the gospel. We're teaching God's truth. And that's what Jesus is calling these disciples to do. And that's what he calls us to do today. So I want us to think about being disciples today. And what does that mean? And think about that call on our life. And listen, if you know Jesus, this is not a message for the person next to you. This is a person for you. It's a message for you. And if you don't know Jesus today, we're speaking mainly to believers today, but the truth of the gospel that they're going to share is one that can change life forever, transform you on earth, and secure you in a place called heaven. So Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus calls his disciples to himself, and I want us to think about three characteristics of disciples. First off, disciples have a message to share. Disciples have a message to share. He says, I want you to go, and I want you specifically, Jesus tells them to go to the lost sheep of Israel. He has a plan. Romans 1:16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So that God desired to move through the hearts of Israel, his Jewish people, so that the message of the gospel would be shared. And the disciples were called to a specific missions region. So he calls them and he gives them a message to share. And we find that that message to share is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom is close. Now, if a kingdom is close, then there's got to be a king. And that king is Jesus. So they were to go and they were to share the message of Jesus Christ. They were to share that salvation comes through Christ alone. Slide down with me again in verse number 7. And as you go, preach. That's sharing. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Salvation is through Christ. If you don't know for certain that Jesus is in your life today, this is the message that they were to share. There is a king who stepped into humanity. His name is Jesus. He lived a perfect life. And he died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. See, the Bible says that all of us are disqualified from heaven because all of us have thought things, said things, and done things that are displeasing to God. And because we've done all of those, we're disqualified from a perfect heaven with a perfect God and perfect fellowship with him. But Jesus came, he lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross. That's why we make a big deal out of the cross. On the cross, Jesus took the penalty that we deserve for our sin. Hockey season's going right now. The Blues aren't really going, but the hockey season is going. If a goalie gets a penalty in hockey, they don't make the goalie come out of the game. It would be an unfair advantage for the other team. But someone who is on the ice at that moment, the goalie commits a penalty, has to go sit in the penalty box. He goes to sit in as a substitute. And the picture is that when Jesus died on the cross for our sin, he was taking our judgment as a substitute so that we could be forgiven and God's justice could be met through what he did. So the king has come. There is coming a kingdom. You can experience it now with Christ in your life, but you can ultimately experience it in heaven forever. And when the king comes and the kingdom comes, then all those who are disqualified from heaven because of their sin are not only disqualified, but they are in rebellion to the king. So it's not just a matter of, hey, I find myself, maybe I've done a few things that are wrong. No, the truth is you've rebelled against the king. And because of that, you're going to be banished from the king unless you come to Jesus Christ. They were to share salvation through Christ. But they were also to share the word of God. Matthew chapter 28, as Jesus gave them the gospel and this great commission, they were to teach them to observe all things, Matthew 28, 18 and 19. Teach them to observe all things. No doubt that their message was more than the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is near. That was the beginning of their message for sure. They needed to share how Jesus came to live a perfect life and die on the cross. But remember, Jesus had shared a lot of things with the disciples already, and Jesus called them first to himself. And as he called them to himself, no doubt they had more to share. And they shared the word of God. That's what a disciple does. A disciple seeks to share the gospel and then seeks to share the truth of God's word. Disciples have a message to share. The second thing that we find in this passage in Matthew chapter 10 is disciples not only have a message to share, but disciples have an example to follow. Disciples have an example to follow. Slide down with me to Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 24. It says this, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he should be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household?" What Jesus is saying is, look, I'm coming to earth, and as I come to earth and set the example for you. Remember, they called me Beelzebub. They just did that at the end of Matthew chapter 9, where they say, this guy casts out demons in the power of the devil. They just accused him of being satanic and being of the devil. And now Jesus is saying, look, if they're going to mistreat me as the mentor, as the discipler, then you have to understand, as a disciple and as a follower, you're going to be persecuted and face challenges too. See, the challenge of our life is this. We live in two worlds. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20 tells us that our citizenship is in heaven, but we're here on the earth. And while we're here on the earth, this is not where we belong. Listen, this is not the place where we have our best life now. We do not have that. If this is your best life here and now, then listen, then you're not going to heaven. Friday night, I preached from Revelation 21 and 22 on the new heaven and the new earth, and to think about the presence of God and the glory of God and the beauty of that place and the absence and the removal of the effects of the curse and sin. Listen, that's our home. But as we pass through, we have to understand that we're to share the message of the king and the kingdom. So we have to share Jesus despite difficulty. We have to share Jesus despite difficulty. Now, what's going to happen? As we begin to share the message, notice how the people are going to respond with me in Matthew chapter 10. It's no different in our world today. Matthew chapter 10. Pick up in verse number 14. "And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words." There's going to be people who reject you. There are going to be people who don't hear. They don't listen. They just out and out say, "We don't want that, and we don't care." But it's going to get worse. Notice down in verse number 16. "Behold, I send you out as a sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up for councils and scourge you in the synagogues. You will be brought up before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles." Then we slide down in verse number 21. "Now brother will deliver up brother to death and a father his child." You know what Jesus is saying? There's going to come rejection. There's going to come persecution. It's going to come as they kick you out of the synagogue. It's going to come as they put you in front of the political leadership. And you may even experience that in your family as a brother raises up his hand against you, thinking that he's doing something for God. Lord, you can imagine, you're sending us as sheep among wolves? Yeah, he is. He is. And I don't know about you, but there seems to be more ravenous wolves in our culture today. It seems that there are more that reject, that persecute in our day. But the message is still true, and the call is still sealed. We share Jesus despite difficulty. Secondly, we commit to Jesus wholeheartedly. As we think about this example, we commit to Jesus. Jesus has set the example. He would share that message, even going to the cross where he would say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus would reach out evangelistically, even on the cross. And Jesus would be wholehearted to fully follow through with all of God's plan. And now Jesus calls us to do that as well. Commit to Jesus wholeheartedly. As we think about that, notice again, verse 24, disciples not above his teacher. But notice what he says, verse number 26. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And notice verse 28, Matthew 10. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You know what Jesus says? I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves, and I'm calling you to live fearlessly. That's what he's saying. Don't fear those who can kill the body. Don't fear them. You're in the game. You're a disciple for me. Do not fear. You want to fear someone? Fear God. He can take the body and the soul and cast it into an eternal hell. But he says, and going on from verse 29, hey, when a sparrow falls to the ground, do I not know that? Do I not know what's going on around me? Notice verse number 30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I realize for many of you that's not a big challenge, but for some, what Jesus is saying is, I have my eye on you. Don't fear those who can kill the body. What's the worst that they can do? Give you an early ticket to heaven. That's what he's saying. Don't fear. Don't live in fear. As we witnessed on TV yesterday, the sinful acts that are abominable to God, as one goes into a Jewish synagogue and takes lives, can I tell you, there are lots of wolves around. And I am completely with great conviction believing that we're seeing more demonic activity on the in our world than we have ever seen before. I think that's real. I'm not trying to scare anybody. The Bible just told you don't fear, okay? So I don't want you to fear, but I'm just saying we need to be aware and have our antenna up, because Matthew chapter 24 tells us in verse number 8 that there's going to be birth pains. And part of these birth pains mean, and part of the persecutions of the world and part of the challenges of everything going on around us. These are birth pains leading to that moment in Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 11, where one comes in riding on a white horse, and his name is Faithful and True, and his eyes are like flames of fire, and on his head are many crowns, and he's wearing a robe that has been dipped in blood, and he is called the Word of God, and he's carrying armies with him, and he is coming with a sword, a two-edged sword in his mouth, and he's coming to claim the world as his own. Jesus is coming. But understand, before he comes, it's going to get more difficult. He tells us, commit wholeheartedly. That means you live without fear. You live fearlessly. Not only do we have this aspect of living fearlessly, but notice verse 32 and 33. And if you miss everything else from this message, make sure that you have verse 32 and 33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Jesus makes it clear. As you go, as you're a witness, and as you go and profess and confess Jesus is Lord, when men and women refuse to confess that Jesus is Lord, Revelation chapter 21 and 8 tells us that the first two people that are not going to make it into heaven are the fearful and the unbelieving. He says, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father. But if someone refuses to confess me, they're fearful, they're unbelieving, they don't want to give in, they want to live their way, they want to be the captain of their own ship, the master of their own fate. He says, they will not be confessed before my Father. Him I will deny before my Father who is in heaven. We commit to Jesus wholeheartedly. And then we find that we have to follow Jesus sacrificially. Notice down in verse number 34 and following. Jesus says, hey, don't think I came to bring peace. we love the picture of Jesus as the Prince of Peace. But as he sends people out and says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. As we go into the world and proclaim Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. As we face our people of different religions and different backgrounds and different traditions and say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not always going to bring peace. We have to understand that. And sometimes it's even going to raise up in our own family. Verse number 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus says, as you follow me sacrificially, sometimes it may mean you have to leave family. You have to leave family. Do you love your father or mother more than you love me? See, parents, let me just tell you, I understand as a parent, and especially as a parent whose children are getting old enough and thinking they're going to be moving soon, there would be no greater joy in my life than to have my kids just, you know, live right there on Harding Street. You know, I'm 805, they 807, 809, 811. Okay, maybe they need to be down the road a little further than next door, but the picture is sometimes the American dream, and often believers, our American dream is that we grow up and our kids live right down the road or right next to us. And here the Lord says, you've got to love me more than family and go where I call you to go. When I think about two of my boys being in ministry, I think, Lord, I don't know. You know, they may be across the sea. They may be across the country. But Lord, they need to love you more than they love me. And they need to love you more than they even love their mama. And Lord, wherever you call, and wherever you want them to go, that's where they need to go. Follow Jesus wholeheartedly. That may mean leaving family. But it also may mean losing our life. Notice what he says in verse number 39. He who finds his life will lose it, And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus says, man, you've got to be willing to give up your own life. And I think that he means spiritually, you have to let the controls and surrender to him for salvation. But I think we can take that a little further, because Jesus says, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We have pretty crosses. We look at the cross as a picture of our faith. But the cross was an instrument of death. And when Jesus tells us that we're to be willing to take up our cross daily, he's saying we're to be willing to lay our life down every day for him. Disciples, we have a message to share. Disciples, we have an example to follow. But thirdly, disciples have a reward to receive. Disciples have a reward to receive. Notice in verse number 40, he who receives you receives me. Hey, there's going to be a reward of changed lives. There's going to be a reward. There's going to be people's lives who are changed. There's going to be a difference that is made. There's going to be lives that you've been able to share the gospel with. There's going to be people who you've had an impact on, and their life is going to be changed, not just for life, but for all eternity. For all eternity. There's a reward in that, of knowing, look, I didn't just help them, you know, make better of themselves, get a better education, get a better job, you know, get food, get clothes. I didn't help them just with those things. I didn't help them just with financial needs. But what I helped them do was cross over from separation from God to their name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and their citizenship being transferred to heaven, and their life being transformed, and their eternity being secured, and Jesus being in their life, and them knowing that I can spend all eternity with them in heaven. As you go, there are going to be some who receive you, and it's going to be because they receive me. And when they understand and the light bulb goes on and lives are changed and hearts are opened and sins are forgiven and eternal life is received, that's great reward. There's great reward in that. He says, those who receive you receive me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He says, verse 41, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. But notice verse 42, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. There's not only the reward of changed lives, but there's the reward of heaven. Jesus says, even a cup of cold water offered in my name will be rewarded. As we think about sharing the message of the gospel, there's a crown mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and Philippians chapter 4, verse number 1. It's called the crown of rejoicing. It's often called the soul winner's crown. It's a crown, a reward given to those who win people to Jesus. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 4, there's a crown of glory. And the crown of glory is given to those who I think pastor and disciple well. I don't think that's only for called pastors. I don't think that's just for paid staff. But those two, right there, winning people to Jesus and pastoring people for Jesus, mentoring, discipling. And there will come a time, as Revelation chapter 4 and 5 tells us and shares with us, where we will be around the throne. And in Revelation chapter 4, we'll take those crowns and we'll cast them at his feet. Years ago, there was a song written that said, we'll cast our crowns at the Savior's feet. What joy complete in His presence sweet. Eternity's greatest privilege will be casting our crowns at His feet. Do you know if you die today, you'd go to heaven? Matthew 10, 32 and 33 says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Do you know that you know Jesus? And then let me ask you, believer, are you on mission? Are you on mission? You say, buddy, life's hard. Yeah, Jesus told us that he was sending us out like lambs among wolves. But he told us, don't fear. Can I tell you, that person in the cubicle next to you or across the fence from you or who has a locker next to you, you don't have to fear. Jesus has promised, lo, I am with you always.